2005-03 on the Commission on Asian Affairs. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Today you do have the Commission on Asian Affairs, the second of the four advocacy commissions scheduled. Before we do that, I have distributed an item that you should find directly beneath your agenda in your packet of materials or in your set of materials, which is a response to Representative Butler's question yesterday about the state government service charges for the advocacy commissions. And I just wanted to cover that. Again, that's the item immediately below the agenda in your list of materials. This was actually a response. Linda Ames from DAS prepared a response to the question of what is happening to state government service charges for these advocacy commissions. Just to give a little background to this, I know that the state government service charges form a large portion of the budgets of these advocacy commissions. And last session, the legislature, and I believe Representative Butler personally himself, worked very hard to try to get these service charges to see if it could be reduced for the advocacy commissions. And this sheet here explains how the service charges are being calculated, or I should say the preferential treatment for the very small agencies with regard to their state government service charges. And you can see that overall, the DAS assessment charges, there are a number of these that are combined to form the total assessment, but overall, they are reduced approximately 50% below the level that they would have otherwise been just based on the standard criteria for establishing them. And there's a little more detail there, which we can get into if you'd like, but this is in response to Representative Butler's question from yesterday. If there are no questions or comments about that, I'd like to go on then and just do a brief introduction, a very brief introduction on the Commission on Asian Affairs. The materials that you have, I placed actually inside your notebook on the top. You should find a little letter that summarizes this agency, plus some budget information attached. And the Commission for Asian Affairs is the newest or most recently established of the four advocacy commissions. It wasn't established until 1995, and the commission is charged with promoting equality for Asian Americans in Oregon and with assessing the issues and needs confronting Asian Americans. The communities that this commission represents are very diverse. They range from East Asia to the Indian subcontinent and all the way to the Middle East. The commission is funded, the governor's recommendation for state general fund, the general fund portion of the budget, is at the current service level. I'd like to talk a little bit about what that means for this particular commission, and I'm referring you back, if I may, to this item, this chart that we distributed yesterday that compares the four advocacy commission budgets. If you look at the Commission on Asian Affairs, you will see that their general fund, here on the front page, is at $142,950. This number is significantly higher than the amount for the Commission for Women, which you looked at yesterday. And this number is sufficient. Unlike, you may recall, for the Commission for Women, there was a situation where the general fund was not sufficient to cover the executive director's costs, salary costs. In this case, the general fund is sufficient to do that. So we do not have that situation that we had for the Commission for Women. The general fund will also support the state government service charges to the agency, plus some services and supplies expenses. For the other funds number for this agency, you can see it's significantly less than it was for the Commission for Women. The governor's proposing an other funds limitation of $30,586. On the second page, if I may ask you just to flip over, the pie chart there at the bottom of the first page of that page shows the funding for the Commission on Asian Affairs in the governor's budget. Approximately 82% of the funds are general fund, and the two sources of other funds are Funding for the Asian American Heritage Month, that's how that's designated on that diagram. You will hear about the Asian American Heritage Month. Last session, the legislature gave the commission the duty of coordinating the statewide celebrations of Asian American Heritage Month. And the budget looks toward private fundraising of $20,000 in the current biennium, in the upcoming biennium, or I'm sorry, I believe it's $20,000 in total, to finance these celebrations. So these would come from private funds, and the private funds would be used for the Asian American Heritage Month commemorations. The commission had asked for general funds for this purpose. And the governor's budget did not include general fund. Instead, it directed the agency, or it directs the agency, to seek private donations in order to commemorate the Asian American Heritage Month celebrations in Oregon.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
So they were asking for 100% general fund funding?
They were asking for essentially 100% general fund plus some unfunded limitation, so that if they did raise private funds, they would be, you know, able to spend those.
What a change from when it was created.
It was created with the warranty that it would always be on its own. No general funds would be served.
I was here.
I was too.
And
so was Senator Duke.
I wasn't here, but I heard about it from Representative Denny Jones when the funding went from $25,000 to
$100,000. Sat on the floor and listened to the speech.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Steve, if you want to continue, or are you finished?
I believe I am pretty much finished. I just wanted to state that there's been comment here about the history of the funding for this commission. At first, the commission was entirely funded by other funds, but beginning with the last biennium, the agency was funded at the current service level, at the same level as the other advocacy commissions. I'd also like to, one other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, the scope of what the agency has been charged to do also changed last session. Prior to last session, the agency had duties and responsibilities relating to promoting trade and tourism with Asia. But the legislature removed those responsibilities last session, so now the remaining responsibilities are more parallel to the other advocacy commissions, essentially to promote the welfare of the communities in Oregon that they represent.
Thank you. Any questions of LFO? I'm going to make a comment, and then Senator Dukes, I would ask you to make a comment if you wish. Appreciate all of you being here this morning, and we'll ask you to testify. Some of the comments that you've heard here have no reflection on any of you, but I was speaker in 1995 when this commission was created, and we were promised that they would never ask for general funds. So it's a little troubling. Not that we think other commissions should have it and not you folks. That's not the point. But the point is that was what we were told, so it's kind of difficult when in a troubling time of budgets to be confronted with this issue. But we know that you were not part of that, and we know that you're doing a good job, but I wanted to make that comment. Senator Dukes was on the floor when the bill was created, and do you have any comments?
I do. What Chair Klano says is true, and I believe some of you were here at the time. And I think it's so striking because what we were told was the Asian people want a commission but do not want to rely on government funds for it and are willing to step up to the plate and raise the money because that's the level of their commitment. And I was more than just on the floor. I got to hear the bill in committee, and I got to hear it from my colleague, Senator Lynn. The bill would not have passed the legislature without the promise that there would never be any general funds in it. And so that is the basis that you've walked into. That and yesterday we listened to a commission that goes out and works very hard to raise other funds to carry out its mission. So I hope you can address some of those issues as you come forward.
Thank you, Senator Dukes. And with that, we will have first hear from an agency overview from Cynthia Mounts. If you would come forward and introduce yourself for the record. And the little pig is, in case you use any acronyms, and it's a compliments of Representative Butler, and that it goes to the American Cancer Society. So it's a good cause.
I prepared something that I have to read once in a while, and so I will not get out of the topic. Madam
Chair, have a copy of what you're going to present to us, or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can make.
No, that's fine. Go ahead, please. If you'll introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning to all of you. For 2 years, I have had the privilege of appearing in the legislative meeting and representing the Commission on Asian Affairs. So the first time, I was very nervous, but today I feel excited seeing new faces here. Well, I'm thinking that because I'm not going to talk about controversial issues like chads and pardons, I feel more at ease.
All right.
I am Cynthia Mounts, and I sit as the commission, as the chair in the commission, and I come from the Douglas County, in the city of Roseburg. I was appointed by the governor to the commission in 1997. And currently, I am serving my second term. The bulk of the details of our report will be done by our executive director, Pauline Lee, who sits on my right. I would like to give an overview of the commission, as I was instructed to. The Commission on Asian Affairs, which is an OCAA, it's acronym.
Okay. Do you want to say what that means?
Oregon Commission on Asian Affairs.
There, now you won't have to pay.
Has a threefold mission. First, it advocates for the enhancement of economic and social opportunities for Asian American in Oregon. Second, it plays a critical role in technical assistance and in providing information about the access to Asian American communities. The third, it assists the OEDD on trade and tourism in the Pacific Rim countries. The commission was created in 1995, as we have already discussed earlier, under Legislature ORS 185.610, and hired its first paid staff in 1997. The commission was mandated to be an economic-driven agency, and in 1999, the legislature passed Senate Bill 951, switching it to an advocacy commission. In spite of the change, the bill states that the commission will still assist the OEDD in trade and tourism. This time, our role is just to assist. On the same year, another bill was passed, Senate Bill 950, which gives the commission a new mandate to hold a statewide celebration of Asian Heritage Month. The governor declared, as you know, the month of May as month of Asian Heritage celebration. The Oregon Department of Employment reported that the Asian population grew by 148.7% from 1980 to 1998 statewide, and 133.7% increase in Salem alone. That is not counting the result of the 2000 count from the Census Bureau, which will perhaps be released this year, surely it will show a dramatic increase in Asian population. These numbers are not intended to alarm anyone, but my question is, are we prepared for this growth? That is my challenge to all of us in the room. The Commission on Asian Affairs represents communities with family cultural ties to West Asia, which is the Middle East, Central Asia, South Asia, that is India, for example, Southeast Asia, as Laos, Vietnam, Philippines, and East Asia, that is Korea, Japan, China, and Taiwan. Asian Americans can be roughly divided into three groups. The Asian-born Americans, the Asian-born Asians, and Asians who are foreign nationals, they are the Asians holding foreign passports. Within each of these groups, there is an incredible diversity. For example, some Asian-born immigrants are not literate in their own languages and have great difficulty with English. Some came as refugees. Many were not skilled workers in their own country. In Oregon, their lives have been hard and their family structure has crumbled. Their youth are at incredibly high risk for gang involvement, drugs, teen, pregnancy, and other problems. In contrast, some Asian-born immigrants came to Oregon to attend college. They often represent their country's most educated and the elite class. While their American-born children may have different values than their parents, in general, their family structures are intact and generally have not experienced the problems faced by their counterparts described earlier. Another way of looking at Asian American population is by country, culture of origin. Again, within each of these groups, there is incredible diversity. Using the Chinese communities as an example, we find that third, fourth, or fifth generation American-born Chinese often have little in common with their foreign-born counterparts. Some American-born Chinese don't speak English, don't speak Chinese, and they have their own Chinese-American cultures, which can be quite distinct from the country culture of origin. Also, some Asian communities have internal divisions based on religion, language, politics, race, and socioeconomic factors. It is no wonder that health and social service providers and others with assistance can find it difficult to make inroads into these diverse groups. Asian American communities can be insular and have not traditionally been involved in Oregon's political system and established as social service providers. It can be difficult for state agencies to get beyond cultural and linguistic barriers, as well as the suspicion and misunderstanding that they may meet in carrying out their work. Despite the incredible diversity, many Asian Americans have social and cultural commonalities. Many of these communities have common concerns in areas of education, social services, legal representation, and economic, civic, and political development. Many Asian Americans are not well informed about services available in the larger community, and often these services do not meet the needs of Asian American populations. I was attracted to serve in the commission because I believe that government agencies such as this would be very ideal to bring down to the South and the rest of the congressional districts because the rural areas are the ones who need the help most. Some factors considered are, for instance, very little diversity in the rural areas, mail order brides and move-ins from other states. for illustration purposes, I will use my own personal experience as a perfect example. 10 years ago, I moved up from here, from Houston, Texas. I went to some Christian gathering in Roseburg, and I sat in a place where I know it's very strategic to meet perhaps new friends. People started coming for the occasion, and I noticed that people would look at me and then choose to sit either in the front chairs or across the aisle from me. The services began, and believe it or not, I found myself alone from where I was sitting. The whole space alongside of me was completely vacant. I just can't believe it. A Vietnamese I know who barely could speak English did not get the assistance from a local agency simply because of communication breakdown. Someone I know called me up. And sought help on how to fill out immigration application forms for a female employee from India. A Filipino needed an interpreter in court because she cannot speak English. The Agency for Children and Families contacted me for a female of Hawaiian descent, 19 years old, with 3 kids. Which means she got pregnant at age 15. All kids were with different fathers, asking to be connected for a support group. Asian American seniors asking help for a low-cost housing aid. I have helped 3 battered and bruised wives of Asian descent. There may be 100 more scenarios like these around the state that we are not aware of, which leads me to my next point. As a commission formed by the will of the community and supported by volunteer spirit of its commissioners, appointed by the highest ranking state officials from many regions of the Asian continent, this commission has proven itself to be a valuable source for Oregon community. By educating, advocating, and assisting all the interested individuals, the Commission has been able to narrow the gap between the residents of this state and out-of-state visitors, business travelers, and other communities within Oregon. We hope, through continued and generous support of the state officials, this Commission become one of the most important commissions in the state. As the chair of this commission, I am very proud to tell you that we started without funding. We received funding, and we managed the funds responsibly. We assure this joint subcommittee that we will continue to live up to expectations, if not exceeded. To quote the former Governor Roberts, it is through direct interaction rather than relying on the prevalent stereotypes and generalizations that we can celebrate diversity. It is only through greater cultural awareness that we will be able to welcome this growth, unquote. I will end saying, I believe that it is not enough that the public is exhorted to welcome this growth. It is our responsibility to reach out to the public to earn this welcome. I thank you.
Thank you. And you made it.
Yes, I did.
Questions? Linda, could you provide me with, I'm going to ask you out of turn here, if you could provide me with each one of the executive directors' salary and what step they were hired at. you don't have that off the top of your head, probably. And to, if you'd share that with us, I'd appreciate it. Any further questions of Cynthia? Okay, thank you. We will go ahead then
thank
with, is it, how do you pronounce it?
Pollen?
Yes. Good morning.
This is a little bit closer to me. Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, and Representative Butler, Representative Hayden, Representative Witt, good morning. My name is Pollen Lee, and I am the Executive Director for the Oregon Commission on Asian Affairs. And as our chair, Ms. Cynthia Mounts has already given you an overview of our commission, its mission, history, goals, and organization. I plan to discuss more in detail the projects and programs that we have developed and hope to continue doing the next biennium. Now, unlike our chair, this is my first time before the General Government Subcommittee of Ways and Means, but I will try to disguise my nervousness. When I was hired 15 months ago in November 1999, I had no previous professional public service or state government experience. But I think what got me the job over the other candidates, in addition to my background in advertising and in mass communication, was probably my passion for community activism and a desire to learn and an understanding of the needs of the Asian Pacific American community. And since day one, I admit it has been a challenge learning many new tasks, a lot of procedures on my own, and trying to balance all the demands of my position under a very limited budget with no additional staffing. However, despite all these obvious obstacles, the Commission on Asian Affairs has managed in this past biennium to produce and develop many noteworthy programs and projects. And before I discuss these projects, I also need to point out that there was a long period of time of about 4 months between me and the previous executive director who worked part-time. And then before her tenure and the previous executive director, there was also a lapse of time as well. And so the lack of an executive director on an ongoing long-term basis had unfortunately resulted in many unfinished administrative tasks in the office. And therefore, in addition to our major projects, I also had to update and organize our computer files, databases, hard files, records, clean up debts, set up accounts with proper state contractors. I even recruited my own husband to come into the office on weekends to fix broken chairs, desk drawers, attach computer cables, and install virus detection software. And my point here is that these tasks are also important in that they allow us to perform the other projects that are more visible, even though these particular tasks receive almost no attention despite the time that is needed. And the second point here is a demonstration how my office has continued to maximize our available resources or use the proper channels, such as going with a state or city contractor to minimize our costs. And it also doesn't hurt to have such a supportive husband who's a computer expert. Now I will go on to the other significant events and programs that we have managed since I came on board 15 months ago. In April of 2000, the Commission on Asian Affairs traveled to Southern Oregon to hold an outreach meeting in Medford. Over 40 people from the local Asian Pacific American community attended. And the event gave those who attended the opportunity to present their various concerns. They openly discussed topics such as adult foster care versus adult foster care home versus assisted living facility, the term Oriental versus Asian, assimilation and other difficulties facing new immigrants, such as transportation and job skills. They also hope to see more Asian-related cultural programming in their region. And from the evaluations that we collected, the participants were all very grateful for the opportunity to be heard by a government agency in an environment that was non-threatening and encouraged them to speak up because it is often very difficult for Asian Americans to do so in a public arena. And they hope the commission will continue to hold these outreach meetings throughout the state. And later you will hear testimony from a community member who was present at the meeting in Medford. Yes, she is present. Okay. And then in May, the Asian Pacific Heritage Month was our busiest month ever because we planned two major events. our office assisted several other Portland-based city and community organizations in planning the 8th annual Asian American Youth Leadership Conference. It was held at Lewis and Clark College, and I was one of the speakers and presented the governor's proclamation of May as Asian Heritage Month, Asian Pacific Heritage Month. And other commissioners also facilitated workshops on topics of interest to our youth. And we are again involved this year, and I have been invited again to be a speaker. And for our efforts in representing the Asian Pacific American community, the Asian Reporter, an English language newspaper that focuses on the Asian community in Oregon as well as the international Asian community, awarded the Commission on Asian Affairs a plaque for most exemplary volunteer effort. And we were nominated by community members, community leaders. And the biggest event to date for our commission has been the Asian Heritage Festival. And although the 1999 legislative session passed Senate Bill 950 that mandated the Commission on Asian Affairs to work in conjunction with the Oregon Heritage Commission to coordinate a statewide celebration to commemorate May as Asian Heritage Month, it did not provide additional funding. Last year's event was the first ever, and it was held in Portland at Pioneer Courthouse Square. We partnered with two community organizations to organize this event. We had over 30 vendors, ranging from health service providers, job recruiters, to arts and crafts and food. We also had free entertainment featuring performances from different Asian Pacific American communities. It was very successful, as we were able to raise enough money to cover our expenses, and over 1,500 people attended the one-day event. We raised about $11,000 in corporate sponsorships for our other funds. We also received excellent feedback from festival goers hoping to see this event on an annual basis. And we are in the midst right now of planning this year's event. Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, you will hear testimony from those who were present at last year's event later today. In June, we had another important event. We worked with other Asian leaders in the community who have professional backgrounds in real estate, banking, and home buying to organize and sponsor an Asian home buying fair in Portland. Working with a local office of the Housing and Urban Development, we organized workshops in 5 different Asian languages to educate attendees on home buying. In the month of September, we also had a meeting with several immigration and naturalization service officials. As you may know, in the months that led up to September, the director of the Portland office of the INS had been facing more and more criticism of alleged treatment, poor treatment of immigrants and international visitors. So much of that, unfortunately, seemed to have been targeted toward Asian travelers and the Asian immigrant community. And so finally, with enough pressure from several Asian American organizations and a press release from our commission that was printed in the Oregonian, the director, David Beebe, ultimately retired. And as a result of our involvement, the INS heard our voice of the community and realized that they had a need to hire a community relations officer to work closely with the ethnic, with a general ethnic community. And in October, the OCAA, I'm going to use the acronym, I've already introduced it. I'll contribute. We stepped up again to mediate for the Asian community when the Oregon Liquor Control Commission suspended the liquor licenses of 10 Korean-owned convenience stores. We invited a director of the OLCC, Ms. Pamela Erickson, to our public meeting, and later meetings with her resulted in a seminar that we just had earlier this month. We invited small business owners who were interested in owning a liquor license to attend so we can educate them on the rules and regulations regarding compliance. And through this event, we, the OCAA, hope to partner with additional state agencies such as the lottery and with the tobacco commissions to further educate our community members. And in the month of November, we worked with community groups to organize a political candidates forum in Portland. Candidates ranging from county commissioners to to the Attorney General, to the Secretary of State, and representing different political parties were present to speak and vie for votes from the Asian Pacific American community. And several candidates mentioned it was the largest turnout for a community-based political forum that they had attended. In developing many of these programs, I would like to reemphasize again that we have worked in partnership with other state or local agencies to share costs and human resources. We collaborated with the OLCC in reaching small business owners and with the Oregon Heritage Commission to further outreach throughout the state of Oregon to commemorate Asian Pacific Heritage Month. And numerous other state agencies and departments have also attended our public meetings with a goal to develop closer ties with members of our community. And we have also worked closely with projects such as the census and with voter registration. And now I have also called upon the Commission for Women, who presented yesterday, and I was present actually in the room, regarding assistance for grant writing, because as you have mentioned, we do need to step up our efforts in that area, and I intend to do so. And so I'm hoping to learn from them because I have heard they've been very successful in the past. So that's a quick summary of our major achievements in the last 15 months. In addition to keeping some of these programs going on a continuous basis, we have several new projects that are in the works right now, and I'm just going to quickly go over them. We just self-published our own newsletter, The Asian Channel. Printing costs for that was kept to a minimum by using the City of Portland printing services and by distributing 75% of what was sent out via an email attachment. And that hopefully will save us on postage costs. And we have received a very welcome response for the newsletter and have actually increased our community reach and database as a result. And I also have included a copy for each of you. And one of our commissioners is currently working with Portland State University, the School of Urban Studies and Planning, to work on a demographics project that's aimed at getting more current data and statistics on the Asian American population here in Oregon. Because based on the calls and requests that I receive daily, or monthly rather, there is definitely a demand for this type of information. And once we finish compiling it, we hope to be able to share the information with other state agencies as well. And it will also be helpful for us, I believe, when we try to get more grants. And another project in consideration is setting up a state webpage. We currently have a very basic page with only information on how to reach our office and other commissioners. We plan to expand that. One of our commissioners, Dr. Fu Lee, is a professor of electrical engineering and computer science at Portland State University, and he has agreed to volunteer his services to help us set this up. And obviously with a webpage, it will definitely help us tremendously in expanding our referral and technical services to the community and other state agencies. We do receive quite a few job postings every month, in fact hundreds, and I know a web page will help us distribute some of that information much more quickly. It will also help release some of the work of myself, especially during the weeks and months leading up to our Heritage Festival. For example, just last year alone, the final week before the festival, I received over 30 calls a day just from people wanting to know what the schedule was of our performances. And as I said earlier, too, utilizing email will help us cut down our costs, especially when we have to distribute a lot of information, and so we can save on postage costs. Now, in closing, I would like to reemphasize how we have managed our funds responsibly and effectively by developing a number of significant projects that have helped us reach our goal of serving the Asian Pacific American community. We are a very small agency with a limited budget, but with a very big agenda. And this agenda is to serve the second fastest growing population in the state of Oregon and the fastest growing in the county of Multnomah. And since our inception, we have struggled to win the support of key legislators and to secure enough funding to develop our programs. But we have managed despite some setbacks in the past. And I hope that our presentation today will demonstrate to you that we are turning things around, and that we have turned things around, and that we are aiming to achieve all our goals in, to serve our community. Because I believe that in serving the Asian Pacific American community, we are also serving all the people of Oregon. So on behalf of the Commission on Asian Affairs, I thank you for your attention this morning, and I also ask for your approval in passing our governor's recommended budget for biennium 2001 to 2003. Thank you.
We will now entertain questions. Questions, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I need a couple of items of clarification, and perhaps staff can help me there, maybe Linda and or Steve. The duties relating to the promoting trade and tourism were in fact re-examined, or were they repealed? We've heard that the duties for tourism continue on through the OEDD, Trade and Tourism Assistance Role.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I'm Linda Ames with Department of Administrative Services. I'd be happy to get you the specific language, but what I'm recollecting, and you may, is that the original statutes had economic development as a primary focus for this commission, and that the legislation last session changed the wording to say, as you indicated, that they will assist other agencies in economic development issues.
Madam Chair, as opposed to a write-up which indicates that the duties relating to trade and tourism were repealed, perhaps they were modified as opposed to repealed?
That might be. I'll check the statute.
Okay. And I'm not certain either.
Thank you. Well, while we're checking the statute, maybe we could also, and I know that there's at least a couple of legally trained people here at the dais that might be able to help us out. Can a commission of advocacy funded by state dollars, can it have a political forum? Can it be the legal sponsor of a political forum?
It's no different than the voters' forum. As long as they're not advocating.
Okay. So using state dollars is appropriate to have a political forum?
The word appropriate, I don't know if I would use or not. I'm only saying I think it's legal, and I'm not a lawyer, but I don't see any difference between that and using state dollars for the voter's pamphlet or voter registration if all you're doing is giving everyone the opportunity to access the system equally and you're not advocating for or against anything.
No, I appreciate the non-advocacy, but other than just to advocate to get out the vote, but I just wondered if that was something that we did do with general fund dollars. I know that lobbying does go on in the building with some general fund dollars among some agencies.
I don't know that I've ever heard another organization that did it, however, with state dollars.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Dews, for the explanation. I wanted to ask both Cynthia and Paul and both if they thought that perhaps, either of you thought that perhaps a non-profit corporation would be of more assistance to you in seeking grant monies. Have you run up against difficulties in obtaining grant monies where you are a state-funded agency? Has that appeared to create any difficulty for the Commission on Asian Affairs?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, we have not gotten into that point of writing grants yet, because our fundraising was more concentrated on some activities such as seminars and banquets and conventions. But we will positively consider that one.
So even though there is a grant, Madam Chair,
even
though there is a grant stream that's available for the Asian community throughout the United States, you don't have anyone that would write a grant or has offered to write grants even on a commission basis at this point?
We just had we have a commissioner. He is the chair of the Asian Family Center, and he and I have talked about writing grants, and he has offered to write grants for the commission, and he will be embarking on it this biennium.
And that would be on a commission basis, based upon the amounts of grants that he successfully writes?
I do not know yet how he will embark on it, but I believe that because of his experience, he would know how to get around it.
And then with regard to the 1,500 people that were involved in the fundraising, the Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, that generated $11,000 for this one-day outdoor activity festival in downtown Portland. Do I understand that the request was originally to have this to be for this next biennium, general fund, funded from the general fund?
I think the 0103 recommended governor's budget.
I think originally when I made the request, I wasn't clear on the language. And so when I worked with our accountant, Bill Lee, I was under the impression that I should request it as general fund, but in reality, it should have really been other funds.
Other funds.
Correct.
Okay.
And so it was just an innocent mistake on
my
part.
And you anticipate, I think, generating a little over $20,000 from that in the next biennium, which would be two annual festivals?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Butler. Our budget for this first festival did run up to about $10,000 to $11,000, but that was also because we got a major discount from the people who put the event to get the events planning department at Pioneer Courthouse Square. Now this year we are planning to go with them again. However, in the future we will look into other venues, possibly other donated places. We have this year spoken with this City of Portland, the mayor's office, and perhaps securing a free place at the Coliseum or at a convention center. But unfortunately for this year, the date was already reserved. But we will try again in the future to perhaps get something for free. And regards to your question about grant writing, I recently met a gentleman who actually works next door to our office who has experience in grant writing, and he's very interested in helping us out, and so I welcome his input, and he's going to come into our office on his own time to help us research more grants.
And finally, one final question, Madam Chair. Relative to the home buying workshop held in five Asian languages, held in conjunction with the Oregon Housing Community Development Department, was there any out-of-pocket cost related to that, or was that sponsored by the housing and community development folks?
That was sponsored by them. We did pay $100 for a booth so that we can distribute information about ourselves. And also, going back to a question you asked earlier, Representative Butler, about the political forum. It wasn't really a question, but you were discussing amongst yourself. We did not spend any general funds in putting together a political forum. In fact, the major organizer of that event was the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. And it was on very neutral ground. We did invite candidates from both parties, and we were just there to give them an opportunity to speak. And our role in that was to distribute the information and invite participants to come.
To facilitate.
Good. Exactly.
Thank you. That assuages any concern that I have about that. But relative to the home buying workshop through the Oregon Housing Community Development Department, that was a basically a $100 investment from the department. Do you feel like that was productive and effective for the folks that attended?
I believe so, yes. I personally did not attend the workshops, but we did help organize. I was one of the organizers, so in the planning stages leading up to it. And in addition to that, I think it helped our commission network better with other local groups as well. So it helped in that regards to build up our network of contacts.
And finally, I have one last question that elicits another question, and that is that something that's done exclusively with the Asian community, or is that something that could be done with all communities of interest, minority and other communities in the home buying industry?
Madam Chair and Representative Butler, it certainly can. In fact, we did not make it an exclusive event for just the Asian Pacific American community. We also had workshops in English as well, but we wanted to have it in like Vietnamese and Laotian just to cater it better to like the immigrant generation.
Great. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. I read through your publication, and you said you had help with that from the city of Portland, and you emailed a lot. How much do you, and I see it goes out monthly. How much do you? How much is the monthly? How many people do you have?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. Are you referring to the newsletter?
Yes, it says.
Yes, we are planning to publish it quarterly.
Oh, quarterly.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the first circulation, we reached about 225 people. And about 75% of that was through email.
225 people.
I also failed to mention earlier that I did put together a packet of information for our presentation today that you might be able to take with you. I apologize for not referring to that earlier.
That's fine. Thank you. Now, you mentioned something about your husband helping you with the computer and whatnot. Where did you get your computer stuff? Was it all your computer equipment? Is it donated, or where did you get that?
Madam Chair, most of our existing computer equipment came around, I believe purchase was 1997. And we did recently, last year, purchase a notebook computer, so that make it more mobile. And we did buy a new monitor as well. And that was the cost for that was about $2,000 total. And we did also update our software package by purchasing, I believe, Office 2000.
And then you heard our earlier remarks about this agency originally wanting to be self-supporting. And you talked about you haven't yet done any grants, or even before you came on, haven't done any grants. I see that in 1997-99 biennium, you received $3,360 as donations. How many donations have you received for this biennium other than the $11,000 that you raised for the American Heritage?
We have not received any donations at this point.
Does Senator Lim donate to you the Asian Commission?
Madam Chair, do you mean himself personally?
Yes.
I do not believe so.
Thank you. I also noticed on your newsletter that you have two vacant positions. How long have those been vacant, and can you explain to me why they're vacant?
Two of our commissioners resigned for work reasons. Their work has been very demanding, and so therefore, because this is only a volunteer work, they were forced to resign. This happened towards the last quarter of 2000. We have notified the governor's office about the vacancy, and right now they are still searching for other commissioners, interested commissioners, to, number one, meet the statute's regulation on appointing appropriately for proper representation. And I believe that they have one candidate already in appointment, is already in process, and I think they're still looking for the other one.
Do you have people wanting to be on that just don't qualify, or what? I don't understand why.
We have, Madam Chair, we have already sent out some notices. I have emailed to my own community network, and we have contacted some centers in the eastern region to send in some, you know, qualified applicants for commissioners.
I thought your newsletter is very nice and very good and says a lot of wonderful things.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You might want to have in there that you do have two vacant positions other than just show it on the side and ask if there's people that are interested. It seems to me like that would be a great way where you're emailing to let people know that you want help in the commission.
We will consider that, Madam Chair.
And then I had, you mentioned, Paulin, about Senate Bill 950 that was passed to have you do the Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, which I think is an excellent idea, but then you mentioned it did not provide any funding. And I guess I would just say that, you know, we had a commission yesterday for the Women's Commission, and they raised over $90,000 and expect to raise over $100,000 this year. So when we're trying to allocate taxpayers' money, it's awfully hard if we have people who do not help themselves. So just remember that when you say it didn't have any funding, there's other commissions that don't have funding as well attached to their things that they've been asked to do. And then you have this liquor policies and procedures to keep the Korean community from having the problems with OLCC. You say in large print this is a free event, which I think is great, but you might consider charging for that. I don't see why, if you're providing information that will keep people from getting in trouble with OLCC, why they couldn't be willing to pay something for that as a thought. And you said you currently have a web page, but you want to expand it. How did you? What was the cost of your web page? You said your husband's very computer expert. Was he the one that did that for you?
No, actually, Madam Chair, it was already there before I started. I think there's a link onto the page from the governor's page or something like that, and it's merely just a chart with our office phone number, address, and all the commissioners' names listed, as well as my name.
And you don't know who implemented that?
I do not know who implemented.
I think that's all I have. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I have two questions, and forgive me, I had to step out for just a minute. I noticed from the material that was provided to us that the 1997 legislature had asked you to produce a fundraising plan. Does that plan exist? Is it written?
I was appointed to the commission in 1997, and I have not seen any fundraising plan written.
There is not one.
There's none.
Okay. The other thing, and I'm going to assume the Senator Yee role for just a moment, it indicates that no performance measures have been developed. Is that the case?
Representative Johnson, the performance evaluation you're talking about, is that for the staff or is that for the commission as a whole?
It's for the commission as a whole, to measure in a tangible way when you're spending public money, what's the value that's coming back, how many clients you're serving, or folks in the community are being served by the efforts of the commission. The measurable output of the commission's work in a way to tie it to benchmarks that are established for the state of Oregon, or in order to match up services provided with client satisfaction or the people that you serve. Do those benchmarks exist?
We have benchmarks, yes, but the evaluation for performance is not yet done.
Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Dukes.
The $11,000 that you raised at the festival, did that cover more than the costs associated with the festival? Was there money left over that you could help on commission activities?
Yes, Madam Chair and Senator Dukes, the money that was left over was perhaps just a few hundred dollars that we've put back into other funds in order to use it again this year.
Have a list of at least 225 people that you're doing your newsletter to, that you've identified as people who are interested. Have you been able to do an assessment with at least those folks, or maybe the people who attend the
meetings and things that you've put on, or the festivals, as to what the Asian needs are in Oregon. I mean, you did a very excellent job of outlining some of them from your personal experience, but have you had an opportunity to sort of somehow formally assess the folks that you have contact with who are Asian to see what their needs are?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, we have monthly meetings, and during our public meeting, we invite the public to come and present their concerns. And as far as, I think that's probably the way we can, as of right now, how we assess what the needs are, is when the people come up themselves and present it before us.
What do you do for the people who can't make it to your meeting or don't know you exist?
I believe that's where the newsletter will help generate more visibility for us.
You mentioned an accountant who, is that the DAS accountant?
Yes, it is.
So we have an accountant who doesn't know the difference between general funds and other funds. We ought to have a conversation.
I'm sure Mr. Greenfield will have a conversation.
No, I apologize. It might have been my own fault. I don't want to put him in a bad position.
That's fine. Is that all, Senator?
That's it.
Representative Johnson. Thank you. This question is motivated by my background in raising lots of money for lots of 501c3s that are public charities. Are you aware of the number of tools that exist in various places that would help you begin to put a fundraising plan together that would include organizations that are designed specifically to help not-for-profits? And in this case, you're not a true not-for-profit, but the same rules apply. There are all sorts of technical assistance folks in the Portland area who could help you write a fundraising plan, help your commission understand the need to hunt for those other funds that are contributed by the folks you serve. The library has a huge section on foundations, many of which are divided by subject area so that you can go in and specifically find foundations both in the state of Oregon and nationally that target issue areas that are important to you. There are just a variety of places to begin to put a fundraising plan in place, and I think maybe what you're hearing from those of us that are responsible for spending the state's money, that in a particularly tough budget cycle, some indication of your willingness or ability to go out and augment what you're doing with money raised from the community that you serve rather than the general fund is something that I think the legislature is going to find desirable and may judge your performance on the next time around.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, I wish to not just present to you so that you will not think that the Commission on Asian Affairs is not doing anything regarding fundraising and grant writing. I would like to let you know that we have had three executive directors. We had bad luck, I guess, because we have three turnovers. And the commission being very new, and it has not really taken off because of this predicament. And when we hired Ballen, she inherited so much backlog from these turnovers, and so therefore she's trying to get things organized and get all this information and grant writings and all this fundraising information, and hopefully that she will be able to put together something with regards to what you have shared with us, and I appreciate your sharing that with us.
Johnson. Madam Chair, thank you. One other aspect of this is that if you are going to be successful in appealing to private sector funders, whether they're business or they're organized foundations, I think that one of the measurements that folks, at least in the foundation world, will judge your success on is how well you are able to keep and retain executive directors. So have you given any thought as a commission to why the high level of turnover? And then whether or not your commission is able to discharge the work of governing the commission in a way that seeks other funds. And you might turn to some of these organizations that exist. One of them that's particularly good is called TACS, T-A-C-S. That's Technical Assistance for Community Groups, that could teach your commission some of the skills required around good boardsmanship so that you can have a commission that's engaged and understands that part of their role, not only to spread the existence of your commission, but is to help reach out to those businesses and foundations that would support your work. So the resources exist to help you do that, and that may be a measure against which other foundations would decide whether to make an investment in you.
I understand. Very well taken, Representative Johnson.
Madam. Thank you, Representative Johnson. That's a very good point. Representative Butler?
Thank you. I just one question, and I know we're running up against the law. Does your commission share any office space or resources, office equipment, or phone banks with any of the other three advocacy commissions at all, the Commission of Affairs for Women, Hispanics, or Blacks?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, no, we have a lease on our own, but it is a very low rate.
And where is that located?
It is up in Portland in Southwest 4th Avenue. It is on the Board of Trade building. It's on the 6th floor. It's a very, very tiny office, and I think we're renting $447 a month.
Mr. Hayden?
Well, Madam Chair, when we get to work session, I would be prepared to support this budget. If we wanted to make a sea change in commissions and fund them all at $1 and allow them to raise their own funds, I would be supportive of that also. But if we are going to have commissions, I think they should all be funded reasonably equally. I do believe this community has a lot to offer to Oregon. I think we're fortunate to have them. I think they probably could approach the Pacific Rim governments and make the case to them that having their nationals in Oregon is of a benefit to those respective countries and seek government grants as well as corporate grants from some of the large Pan-Pacific corporations. So I think there would be funding available, but that begs the question of what our state responsibility would be, and I think we have an equity question here that if we're going to have the commissions, if we're going to fund them with general fund dollars, I think it has to be fairly equitable.
I think that's a big concern to all of us. Did you have another question? We're going to take a 5-minute break. Thank you.